get you to turn back to lesson 24 in your book. And this is the, I think it looks like a page, about page 121. And I started last week, we finished the book of Nehemiah, who rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem. And then we transitioned into the book of Esther. And I about got it done, but I really want to finish that tonight. And then I want to show you how really what we've covered to this point from Genesis to Esther. And then we'll be set up to jump into a whole new unit of your book next week. So let me move a little bit through this kind of quickly. I'll come back to my prayer mat when we're done with this. So they call the book of Esther Saved by the Queen. And last Wednesday, it's kind of hard to do, but I try to give you a very quick summary of the book and the characters in the book and the chart on, where did I put my paper? The chart on the bottom of page 121 give you the story of the book of Esther. And if you're not familiar with the book, it's really confusing. So what we did, I'm just going to put these up together. When we talked about last week, the story of the king who was named Ahasuerus, he was also known as Xerxes, and his queen is named Vashti. She refused to obey a command he gave. And to make a long story short, there were some Jewish people in the Persian Empire who had not returned to Jerusalem. And one was named Mordecai. He had a cousin named Esther. And basically, Mordecai, God used him to used him and Esther to save the Jewish people from annihilation from a man very similar to Hitler. Okay, his desire was to annihilate and destroy the Jewish nation of people. And his name was Haman. Haman was a bad dude. He was trying to kill all the Jews, had it all worked out. And he also hated Mordecai as a Jew. And it turned out Esther ends up going before the king and pleads for her people, the Jewish people. And the king listens to her. In an ironic twist to the plot, Haman, who was determined to destroy all the Jews, ends up being destroyed himself on the gallows and all his sons. And then Esther ends up with the king allowing an edict to be made so the Jewish people could defend themselves from the attack of Haman's plot. And in doing that, the Jewish peoples were rescued from this Hitleristic, if I can invent a word, this Hitleristic plot to destroy the people. So that was a very brief overview of Esther. And what I want to finish tonight with that now is on page 122. And there is a key verse in the book of Esther that we're going to turn to in just a minute. But a key verse in the book of Esther that you really need to take from this book. And you're going to find, I believe, you're going to find yourself in this position in your own life at times. So at the top of page 122, after doing that quick little summary, your textbook says that Mordecai encouraged Esther to be brave because she's going to go before the king and plead for her people. Mordecai says, perhaps you can save the Jews by your courage. And he believed that God had caused Esther to become queen of Persia because he had a special plan for her. And perhaps that plan was to save Israel from Haman's death warrant. Now let me give you a quick trivia question, case or note, if you've never come across this before. How many times in the book of Esther does the word God appear? Does anybody know?
It doesn't.
Just a good old trivia question. All right, Tracy said the word God is not in the book. Is she right?
Yes.
Okay, Jerry says she's right.
I second the motion.
All right, second the motion. All in favor of Tracy's motion that the book of Esther does not include the word God? No. Okay, so she's so right. Now here's what this is, man, this to me is weird. This is so neat. This is encouraging to think that you've got a book in your Bible that is crucial to the preservation of the Jewish people and God's name is not mentioned one time. How about that one? Now, here's what I like about that. What that means is, even when sometimes you don't see the name of God, you still cannot deny His work behind the scenes.
Amen.
That's what happens in the book of Esther. So here's what it says. Mordecai urges Esther to think about God's plan for her life. So read his words in chapter 4, verse 12. So turn there now. And this to me, now listen, this is going to be the key of the whole book of Esther. In chapter 4, if you get to Ezra, Nehemiah, and then Esther, these three books are in the exact same time frame of Israel's history. And when you get to chapter 4, Esther is struggling. She knows if she goes before the king and he has not called for her, she could be killed on the spot. That's pretty serious from where I come from. So she's a little bit scared, a little bit anxious. And Mordecai says, but Esther, if you don't go before him, none of us are going to survive. There's no chance to escape Haman's plot. So here's what Mordecai says to her in chapter 4 and verse 12. So they related Esther's words to Mordecai regarding, you know, I'm going to get killed if he doesn't summon me to come into his presence. And then Mordecai in verse 13 says to those who came from Esther, you tell this to Esther, do not imagine that you there in the king's palace are going to be able to escape any more than all the rest of the Jews. As soon as he finds out you two are a Jew, you're going to be gone also, like the rest of us. And here's a big verse in verse 14. If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. Okay, God is not going to extinguish the flame of his people. We know that, but Esther, maybe, now look what he says, maybe now, you and your father's house, you're going to perish. Okay, here he goes. But Esther, who knows whether right now you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. That's the phrase, for such a time as this. Now remember, there is no mention of Yahweh. There's no mention of Elohim in the Hebrew text. There's no mention of God directly in the story of Esther. And yet Mordecai says, who knows? Maybe God put you in this place right now, and your position right now, you won the beauty contest. You now have access to the king. Maybe God put you in this position right now for this exact moment in time. I'm going to tell you what. That's encouraging to me. It truly is. Maybe God put you where you are right now at the hospital. Maybe God put you where you are right now at the IMB office. Maybe God put you where you are right now working there at Dalvin or wherever you may be. Maybe God put you, Ryan, where you are at your office place for a specific time as the one we live in right now. Ooh, Mordecai, I like this. So that is the key verse in the story of Esther. Here is what now Mordecai is saying, and this is a summary if you want to put it in the blank. Mordecai says to Esther, I believe that God in His sovereignty has put you in this position for just this kind of time and circumstances that we currently are in. Very interesting, because not one time in the story is the name of God found. So if you want it, I did this one time, you can take the book of Esther, and I came up with about 9 or 10 times in the book where it's obvious that God was working and moving behind the scenes, even though his name never appears. And so Mordecai catches on to that. So let me finish the rest of the page, and then we'll summarize where we are in the Old Testament, and then we'll switch to prayer time. So now we've got Esther, we've got Mordecai, her cousin, King Xerxes, Ahasuerus, same guy. They all became part of God's plan to spare the Jews. God wanted to save the Jewish nation because he had promised that the Messiah would come from that nation. Remember the Abrahamic covenant, Davidic covenant. There will be someone on the throne of David forever and ever into eternity. Jesus fulfills that in the New Testament. He preserves the Jewish nation. And here's the application for us that I really like. God has a plan. And everyone has a place in that plan. God might not use you to save a nation as Esther did. He might. Who knows? Of the millions of Jews, only Esther was able to do that. But I promise you, you fit somewhere in His plan. And more than once in your life, you will be able to adapt Mordecai's words in that verse to your own situation. God can and He will use you to accomplish His purpose in the world. But will you, like Esther, be willing to do whatever He asks, no matter how hard it might be? Can I tell you what I think of this too? So this past weekend, we went down to Virginia Beach, our youth evangelism conference. And I'm going to tell you something happened at that YEC that I'll never forget. Never forget. Let's say 7 or 8 years ago, we were down there, Virginia Beach, had the youth down there, and Sarah Hall. Sarah's never gotten emotional on me as long as I've known her, which has been 17 years. When I first came to this church, she was like, what, 4 years old? Something like that. Somewhere in that ballpark, 4 or 5. And we were at YEC, and God orchestrating us being there, and in that event, and it's something they spoke at that event that struck Sarah's heart. And she comes to me, and she's like, can I talk with you? So we go back to the little counseling area, all the people back there, and I'll never forget, she's sitting on the floor, tears in her eyes. I go, oh, something's bad with Sarah. Sarah ain't like this. And that's when she told me. She said, I think God's calling me to some kind of missions work. Okay, Sarah, for such a time as this, right? Virginia Beach, 3 hours away from the sprawling metropolis of King George. And it was there, Virginia Beach, in this YEC, about 1,200 students or so. And it was there that she felt this impression from God. Look, I've got a burden. And then, of course, she followed the process and all the stuff she did. Now she's in the century. Okay, the point is, I don't know where you are, where you've been, where you're going to go, but just don't forget that in God's sovereignty, He may have you in the specific spot you're in for exactly that time and what's going on there. So last question, the bottom of that page. What does the book of Esther reveal about God's sovereignty, His purpose, His providence, even though He's not named in the book? And I just put here in my little blank, He's still working. Even when you don't think He is, right? When you don't see Him, when you don't sense Him, when you feel like He's put you up on a shelf, He's done with you. Because you can get there. I mean, I hate to say it, but you can get there. And even then, this book reminds you, He is still working. So let me see if I have anything else on here. Okay, just that question. All right, so any question, comment, testimony about Esther, story of Esther, key verse? Okay, let me do a very quick summary of where we have been. Turn back, I think it's page 10 in your workbook. One of my greatest fears when we do any kind of Bible study is that we take the text out of context. And I like to try to keep everything in context as much as I can. Have I said this before? A text without context is pretext. And you can make a text of Scripture mean anything you want it to mean if you don't keep it in its context as God has given it. So when you go through the books we've covered so far, and if you look on page 10 and 10 and 11, there was a chart earlier in our study where we took all of the 39 books of the Old Testament and the 27 in the New Testament and organized them according to categories, or maybe you might even say a little bit like genre type deal. So I want to show you where we've been, because I want you to see what we've covered so far has completely covered the history of the Old Testament. There's no history of the Old Testament left at this point. The first 5 books of the Bible, the Old Testament, recall the law. And so we went through creation. We've got the story of the fall of man in the book of Genesis. We've got the flood and Noah's ark. We've got God calling Abraham from a foreign land, and I'm going to make you a great people and great nation. That's the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis. The story of Joseph at the end of Genesis. They end up in Egypt in the book of Exodus. While they're in Exodus, God calls Moses to rescue the people from Egypt and bondage. They cross the Red Sea. He gives them the law of how to now live amongst themselves, the Ten Commandments. That's in the book of Exodus. Leviticus gives them further law for the Levites as they lead the people in worship and their sacrificial system. The book of Numbers carries us through the wilderness. They wander for 40 years in the wilderness because they would not obey God to go into the promised land. Moses dies at the start of Deuteronomy, and now they're about to go into the land. The word Deuteronomy, who remembers what the word Deuteronomy literally means? Anybody? It means second law. So now Deuteronomy is basically a repeat of the first four books. So before they go into the promised land God told Abraham about, now Moses gives them one final sermon, reminding them of God's law and what they need to do to obey Him in that land. We jump then down from the law, the first five books, to a section called history. And that's what we just finished tonight. So now we've got Joshua, who leads the people into the promised land after Moses dies. We've got a series of judges. There's a cycle as they disobey God. They're attacked. They cry out for forgiveness and deliverance. God raises up a military leader named the judge. He delivers them. They start the cycle all over. And it does it all through the time of the judges. Ruth is in that exact same time frame, who ends up a very important person in the family tree of King David, who's going to come as their king. We have a man named Samuel, who is the last judge and kind of first prophet as he leads the people during this time. They want a king. What was the very first king they got? And they wish they hadn't. Saul. Saul was kind of a disaster, which we sometimes have in our nation too with political leaders, just the way it's always been. So Saul was kind of a disaster. And so then God said, I'm going to raise up someone after my own heart. That's King David. So King David is in the book of 2 Samuel, 1 Kings. Then remember, there is a split in the kingdom. So now we've got a whole series of kings for the northern part of the kingdom and the southern part of the kingdom. That occupies 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. They are attacked. They go into exile for 70 years and they return. The books that tell you about the return are Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther falls during that time. So Ezra returns to build the people so they know to worship God. Nehemiah returns to build the wall around Jerusalem. All Zerubbabel's in there to rebuild the temple when they get back. And now they've gotten back to the land. We just finished the story of Esther. They're back home. And that is the end of the Old Testament history. There's no more. I mean, that is it. You say, but hold on, I still got a bunch of books left from the Old Testament. That's right. And here's what's going to happen. The next section of poetry, most of these books, most of these, are written by David or Solomon. So these fit into the time of the 1 and 2 Kings time frame. You get to the major prophets, and then on the back, the minor prophets. All of these prophets fit inside the books of 1 and 2 Kings. They are prophesying during the time prior to the exile, during the exile, and after the exile. So the very last book in your Old Testament is a book of Malachi. And when you get to the book of Malachi, you are about at the year 400 BC. Now, here's what that means. From the Old Testament book of Malachi to the book of Matthew in the New Testament, you've got about 400 years now of silence. It's called the silent era. It's like, all right, is God still there? Does He know that we're still here and we're still looking for this Messiah? And we're going to talk about those 400 years when we get to it. I'll show you what happened during that time. But they're kind of wondering, and that might be where the book of Esther kicks in. Hold on. You may not hear from Him right now, but I promise you, He's still working behind the scenes. Okay? So we get to the end of Esther. We have now completed the history of the Old Testament. And every other book is going to fit into this history, which we'll start with next week with the book of Job.